Coming up on today's show.
I think you have to get close to the player. And when you get close to the player, you have to be able to look him in the eye and say, look, I have to tell you, here's where we're at. And sometimes you got to get him news that's disappointing. But that's what your faith has to be. It's like, just try to do the right thing.
Peace be with you. This is Catholic Sports Radio, located at the intersection of your faith life and sports life, and on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, iHeartRadio, YouTube, and lots of other platforms. I am Bruce Wozniak, talking with Catholic guests who are current or former athletes, coaches, referees, umpires, clergy, administrators, and more from the pro, amateur, and scholastic ranks about the intersection of their faith life and their sports life. The show website is catholicsportsradio.net or .com. They will both get you to the same place. Be sure that you have signed up there for free for the Catholic Sports Radio e-newsletter that gets sent out each Monday. That's all, just once a week. While you are on the website signing up for the newsletter, look at the top of any page on the site, and you will see social media links, logos for this show, meaning Facebook, X, Instagram, and YouTube, so that you can engage with me and the show that way. The Catholic Sports Radio community is the Facebook group consisting of listeners of this show and some past guests. That is free to join, and you can also find a link for that too on catholicsportsradio.net. I so enjoy hearing from listeners. Social media, as well as the website, all give you the opportunity to contact me, as does traditional email, which you can do through bruce@catholicsportsradio.net. Now on to my ministry moment for this episode. I would like to think that people are turning to God, turning to prayer in all things, sports, work, family, and everything in between. But just as we need to avail ourselves to the Holy Spirit and be active in our faith life, we have to believe. If an athlete suffers a serious injury, he or she has to believe that they will recover and they will play again. If a boxer gets knocked out, he or she has to believe that their talents will continue to improve, they will learn from the defeat, and they will compete next time in a way that better positions them to win. I feel like I talk about baseball players who go into a slump often on this show. They have to feel confident that what got them to where they are in the first place and the specialty coaches around them will result in them getting back on track in the batter's box. When you hit a rough patch at work, when there are troubles in the family, when you have a medical challenge, when you are going through financial worries, all of these are times to go to prayer and believe that God the Father will guide you through. In the New Testament, the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 21, verse 22 says, "Whatever you ask for in prayer with faith, you will receive." It occurred to me that in the 5.5 years of this show, we have been really light on athletic trainer guests, say a strength and conditioning coach maybe. I'll bet they could tell stories to fill up a whole CSR episode about sports injuries. Those cannot be fun to deal with, both treatment-wise and payment-wise. On the latter, though, Christian Healthcare Ministries is healthcare done differently. They are a biblical alternative to traditional health insurance. It's healthcare that aligns with your faith, is affordable, and flexible. You can join anytime. Visit chministries.org/catholic-radio to learn more. Moving on now with this week's episode, my guest has won both a Super Bowl and college football national championship. He is entering his second season as Tulane University's special teams coordinator after having spent the 2022 season coordinating special teams for the USFL's Houston Gamblers and XFL's Houston Roughnecks. Prior to 2022, he spent 5 seasons with LSU, where he joined the staff as an analyst in 2017 and later took over as special teams coordinator. That followed his having spent 11 years with the NFL's New Orleans Saints, the first 2 as assistant special teams coordinator, followed by 9 seasons as special teams coordinator. During his time there, the team won the Super Bowl in February 2010 over the Indianapolis Colts. He has spent decades around football, first as a safety at Eastern Illinois and then as a coach at 8 different schools over a 25-year period. Welcome to Catholic Sports Radio, Greg McMahon.
Well, thank you very much. It's great to be here.
I appreciate your time, Greg. Thank you. I know this is a very busy time for you and for Tulane football, so I'm grateful that you are able to be on Catholic Sports Radio today.
My pleasure. I'm looking forward to it.
For someone with a long resume such as yours and all the stops you've made all those years, I'll be interested to know, where were you actually born and raised? And for that matter, what was the family size?
I was born and raised in Rantoul, Illinois, which is about an hour and a half south of Chicago. I was born on an Air Force base. My father was 4 years enlisted in the Air Force, and I was born on the Air Force base at Chanute Air Force Base, and that's where I was raised. That's where I grew up. That's where all my family still lives, although my mother and my father and my sister passed, but I lived there my whole life until I started out professionally.
Were there more than two children or just you and your sister?
No, it was, I have a sister who's 1 year older who passed, and then I have a sister 1 year younger, and then I have a brother 4 years younger. So there was my mother, my father, and my brother and my two sisters, and I'm the second of four.
Now, was this a Catholic household you grew up in? And if so, what was the presence of the faith like in the McMahon household as you were growing up? And did you attend any Catholic schools?
Yes, very, 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 very much so. My mother and father both, my mother grew up Methodist. My father was Catholic. When they were married in the late 50s, my mother converted to Catholicism, and we were raised in a very, very traditional Catholic family. We went to Mass every Sunday. Normally it would be 4 o'clock because my mother and my father worked very, very hard. So we would go a lot of times Saturday afternoon at either 4 or 6 to St. Malachy in Rantoul. And that's where I went from first grade through eighth grade. All four of us kids went to Catholic school, grade school. And then there was not a Catholic high school near us. So we went to public high school because if there was a Catholic high school, we would have gone Catholic, but there was not one. There is now, but when we were growing up, there was not.
Now, I'm asking this to Greg, but also audience, please show me a little grace. Even though my father was in the Army, it wasn't to the extent that I would know the answer to a question like that, which I'm about to ask to Greg. But when you talk about the background that you just described, Greg, was there a Catholic church on base, or this was outside of there that your family attended Mass so regularly?
Actually, there was. The Air Force Base, like a lot of bases, has closed down. At one time, it was one of the bigger training bases in America for, like, firefighting and things. So it was a vibrant Air Force Base. There was a Catholic church on the base. Wow. We attended the one that was in town, which I mentioned, St. Malachy, that currently is there. Okay. It's the only Catholic church in my hometown.
Well, I mentioned in the intro that in college you played safety at Eastern Illinois, but at what age did you first start playing sports, period, and who got you interested in competing in whatever sports you did play, obviously one of them being football?
You know, we're all influenced by our parents, and so my parents neither went to college. They were very, very hard workers. My mother owned a beauty shop. My dad was a janitor and then started dealing in car sales, but they just traditionally always wanted us to have a good work ethic, and they also wanted us to attend church regularly. So it was a fantastic way to grow up. I was influenced heavily by my parents. They made us get in everything, whether it was trampoline, whether it was bowling, anything. My mom and dad, because they didn't get to play sports because they were always working on the farm. But us kids did everything. And so my younger brother's 4 years younger. We were big into sports. My younger sister was a swimmer, but also a cheerleader. My older sister was a cheerleader, so we were always, always involved in sports.
Yeah, you weren't going to grow up in the McMahon household and not participate in sports, it sounds like.
Yeah, and you know, we never were, because no one had a background, we never really were into the arts or the music and stuff, but it was always about, you know, athletics or something with athletics, just because that's kind of what our background was.
In addition to LSU and Tulane, your coaching stops have included the likes of Illinois, UNLV, Valdosta State, Southern Illinois, North Alabama, Minnesota, and your alma mater, Eastern Illinois. At a quick glance, none of those jump out at me as Catholic schools. When you're trying to immerse yourself in the sport and get a foothold on your coaching career and working to make a name for yourself, does faith maybe take a backseat to things like coaching and practices and recruiting when you are not at Catholic schools that have daily Catholic Mass on campus?
Absolutely not. I mean, through the influence of my parents, I've always done my best to go to daily Mass. When I was a young, kind of trying to figure things out before I got married, you know, I was trying to figure out, am I really, is this Catholic faith the right fit?
Mm.
And when I went to North Alabama and I was in the South and I was around, I'd never been around Bible studies and I'd never been really around Southern Baptist Christian coaches, that I was always Catholic and everybody I was around was Catholic. And so you went to Mass on Sunday and you tried to live a good life. And then after being around, I was kind of influenced, but what happened, it confirmed that I love and I feel very comfortable with my Catholic faith. And so it really drove me to, like when I was at the University of Illinois, I never missed daily Mass, you know, but it's a challenge. And when I went to LSU, I had to really find a church that has a 6 a.m. Mass, because if it's not 6 a.m., I can't attend because I have to work and I have to do a good job, like all of us in our profession.
Yeah.
So, you know, to find a 6 a.m. Mass nowadays is very challenging.
Yeah, unfortunately.
Yeah, and then at Tulane, we practice in the mornings. So our meeting started at 7. But I am very, the tougher things get, the more I go to my faith.
Fantastic.
Like, I fell in love with the church on campus at the University of Illinois, the priests, and going through daily Mass. And so, no, it never, ever affected me to not go to a Catholic university or work at one.
Audience, there's so much that I like about the answer that you just heard, because let's face it, when you're young, you've just graduated from college, and you're trying to get your career off the ground, in this case, in the football coaching profession, it doesn't matter what it is, you're trying to get ahead. You're trying to establish yourself. You're trying to make a name. And when it's something like the sport of football, where you are doing things like coaching and practicing and recruiting and paperwork and everything else that goes with it and non-traditional hours, it could be very tempting for Satan to tap you on the shoulder and say, just skip it today. Just skip it this week. You don't need to go for now. And all of a sudden fall into that trap where you look back and it's been months since you've been to church. So many great things about what you just heard. Last week on the show, Ave Maria University head football coach Joe Patterson talked about knowing he wanted to get into ministry, yet went on to be a teacher and a football coach. So I asked him to show the audience how that still felt like doing ministry work to him. Greg, maybe not so much the X's and O's, but more so the one-on-one talks you have with players, the counseling, if you will, that you do with them. Do you see that as a form of ministry that you're doing without it actually being called that?
Absolutely. And the people that have influenced me are, whether it's peers that I've worked with or people that influenced me when I was younger, they're beyond reproach, like how they live their lives. So, yeah, administering, absolutely. But players knowing this guy really walks the walk. And, like, because we're on a Thursday night game, so Sunday for us this week is really like a Tuesday, and Saturday's like a Monday. Well, those are grinder days in season for us, and so we have a staff meeting at 4, and I told Coach I won't be able to attend because I'm going to Mass. So it is what it is. And but again, I'm 64 years old, so I've done this for 43 years, and I just feel like hopefully I know the people that I've worked with, whether it's Leslie Frazier or Sherman Smith, that aren't Catholic, but I know they're strong Christians because I watch how they live their life. So whether they say a word to me, they minister to me all the time.
Wow.
And I have a kicker here, Jacob Barnes at Tulane. Well, I can tell you already, he ministers to me because of how he lives his life and who he is. And so, to me, what you do speaks volumes.
I love it. Preach the gospel, use words if necessary, right?
Yeah. I mean, that's how I feel. I mean, that's just kind of the way I've always felt that way.
It's so great to have a coach on the show. I always enjoy hearing the intricacies, the behind the scenes, and the tactics and mindset you can pick up from talking with a coach. We all need a coach in our corner. Where do you go if you or a loved one have an attachment to pornography? Let Freedom Coaching help. Don't just quit. Be transformed. Break the power of porn. Visit freedom-coaching.net and be set free forever. We are officially into September now. Happy Labor Day, by the way, assuming that you're listening to this episode of Catholic Sports Radio on the day that it's being released. So no, Greg and I are not talking on Labor Day, although I will be posting on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram on Labor Day about this interview having been released. Indeed, even though this is not my full or even my part-time job, I still have to promote the newest episode, even though it's a quote-unquote holiday. I don't get any income from doing this show. This is a ministry for me, but the Lord called me to this, and I have to stay obedient to the call, which is why I have never missed a show once in 5.5 years, and which is why I'm going to do what I need to do for Catholic Sports Radio, even if it means doing some work on Labor Day. I do hope that you enjoy what I'm doing and you see value in all the time and work that I put into this and that this show is helping you in your faith life. I would ask you to prayerfully consider this ministry as part of your tithing to support me and Catholic Sports Radio. The fast, easy, and secure way to do that is through the blue Donate to CSR button on the homepage of CatholicSportsRadio.net or .com. They'll both get you to the same place. That will allow you to use a credit card, debit card, or even PayPal. Alternatively, though, if you prefer, since I know some people don't like putting payment information on the internet, you can get in touch with me through social media, the website, or email for details on sending a check through the mail. Bruce@CatholicSportsRadio.net is how you can write to me. Regardless of which method you use, the blue Donate to CSR button on the website or sending me a check, with your permission, I will happily say your name on the air on an upcoming episode of the show as a public thanks, or as some people have instructed me to do, you can ask to remain anonymous. I'm grateful for your considering Catholic Sports Radio as part of your tithing as I continue working to move more people closer to Christ through the mix of faith and sports. Greg, as we have all seen, college football has become such big business. It's probably a far cry from what you remember when you first started into it. In fact, I read an article that said you were either up at or already at the office at 4:30 a.m., plus with games being on the weekend and all the travel time and then film study, etc. How challenging does it become to still get to Mass when it's football season?
Not at all. It's a priority. Like, it's probably the easiest thing I do.
Wow.
I'm being very honest. I mean, to me, to go to Mass weekly, my gosh. I mean, that's the way I was raised. I mean, when you went on vacation, you always knew you were going to go to Mass in Pennsylvania because we're traveling. Or we're going to go to Mass, like, going to Colorado to see the Grand Canyon. Well, we're going to go to, like, it's just, you know, and our adult children, our grandkids, they know that Mass is a priority. So it's, I want to say it's non-negotiable. We don't even have to negotiate. It's just the most important thing we're going to do.
You read my mind. I had that expression, non-negotiable, in my head as I was listening to you. But I guess I kind of set that question up in such a way that, shame on me, I was expecting you to say, yeah, it gets tough, but, you know, you find a way around it. You make sure you get there at some point over the weekend. And so even better that it was right out of the gate. It's not even a challenge.
I mean, since I was born, I don't remember it ever being a challenge. It's how you live your life.
Yeah, as evidenced by saying, well, coach, I'm going to be at Mass then, and so be it. It's interesting that I was referred to Greg by the guest from back on episode 205, Eric Satulovich. That was back in January of last year. Yet, as I did my research for today's interview, I found an article that talked at length, Greg, about you pretty much being best of friends with Thomas Morstead, the current New York Jets punter, who was just on the show a few weeks ago, back on episode 284, which came out July 8th. I've got to believe that being brothers in Christ is part of that bond.
Well, I can remember when Thomas met Lauren and they decided to get married and Thomas converted to Catholicism. And I was at his son's baptism. So, yeah, the Catholic faith is very, very, very important to Thomas and his wife. And, yeah, I think he's extremely comfortable in where he is with his faith and with his family life and how they're, I mean, and Lauren are raising their children. They're wonderful children.
Yeah, an audience, I think that's a large part of what I want this ministry to be, is that we are open, we are proud of our Catholic faith, and it opens those doors. It makes the conversation so much easier to have. If you're someone like Greg, where you meet someone that has a football background, there's that in common. All of a sudden, you find out that you're both Catholic, and it just feels like you're brothers family-wise and not even brothers in Christ. And so great testimony that he and Thomas were together with the New Orleans Saints, of course, but yet at the same time, here they are years later, where he can talk the way of Thomas's family that you just heard, because there's obviously a strong bond there that goes well beyond what they did together with the Saints. There's a lot that I read in the lead up to today, including about honors, statistics, records, success, and so forth regarding players, Greg, that you have coached over the years. But I also noticed that the overwhelming majority of them were accompanied by those same players talking about the relationship they had or still have with you, the impact that you made on them just as a person, not just their play on the field. When, why, how did you obviously make the decision at some point, as important as winning is and being successful, I also want to do something for these players away from the field?
Well, I think you can do both. I mean, certainly at certain levels, you have to win, or you don't have to win, but you're evaluated or you keep your job for winning. So winning's important. But the relationships and the daily going in the office and seeing the same people and being able to get along and to be part of something special each day. To me, I've got a very peaceful heart because I've always enjoyed people. I've always enjoyed relationships. I'm sure I get it from my mother and my father. So that's all part of it. So I've never been able to coach a player that I have to be able to connect relationships-wise, because it's such a demanding profession that you have to be in it for all the right reasons. So I'm at the point now, I'm on the other end of this. Our three children are raised. We have grandchildren. So I literally look at these players and I say, okay, this is my son. Because when you put your own family in those situations, because I had the honor of coaching my own son for a couple of years at Illinois. Well, when it's your son and you look at it, you look at it through different eyes. And so whether it's good news, maybe disappointing news, you got to be honest and you got to, but again, I'm just so faith driven that I just feel like we're having this conversation for a reason and we're here for this reason. So it's a daily grind. I mean, I got to constantly go back to my faith and stay connected and stay grounded, because, you know, but to me, each day is driven by my faith.
Well, and please correct me if I'm wrong, but I have to believe that there are coaches out there, head coaches, who would maybe tell their staff, listen, we're not here to be these players' friends. We're here to win football games. We're here to get the most that we can out of them. And so it sounds to me that it was very natural for you that you didn't actually sit down and make a conscious decision at some point that I'm going to be here for these guys off the field as well. Just like you said before, no, it's not a challenge for me to go to Mass on Sunday. That's just the way our parents raised me. And the same thing, that it was just so ingrained in you that you didn't have to sit down and make a choice of, I think I'm going to go beyond X's and O's. I think I'm going to form relationships and be there for life skills and make men out of them.
I don't agree, but I can't even comprehend the concept of, well, this is a business, so you can't be close to the people you work with. I can't even understand the concept, because I think they have to know you care about them. They have to really get them to just empty the tank. They got to know, like, I don't care who's the hardest nosed coach, and I'm going to give you two names, and Nick Saban or Bill Belichick, and they're driven and they're winners. They love those players. Those players love them. I mean, it's just, I don't understand of, well, you can't get close to players. I think you have to get close to the player. And when you get close to the player, you have to be able to look them in the eye and say, look, I have to tell you, here's where we're at. And sometimes you got to get them news that's disappointing. But that's where your faith has to be. It's like, just try to do the right things and let your faith lead you. And looks, you're going to make mistakes. But at the end of the day, they have to know you care about them. I don't care if it's the military. I don't care anything. They have to know you care about them.
Wow. Powerful. Great stuff. As we wind down here, How about it? We have to talk a little football. Tulane was 11-3 last year, 8-0 in the conference, second in the AAC. The bar was set high. Does the team feel like we've got to meet or exceed that? Or as coaches, do you encourage them to not look back and just think of it as a blank slate starting into 2024?
You know, Bruce, football's just changed so much. I mean, you know, certainly we had a head coaching change. The head coach left to go to Houston. Coach John Summerall came from Troy State. So you've got a whole new staff. You've got all new players. You've got 39 players that didn't even go through spring football. So you're constantly stirring. But it's everyone this time of year asks, how's the team going to be?
Yeah,
I know the expectations are very, very high. This is a very respected program. We are expected to win championships. And coach has done a great job of explaining that to him, but we are so process driven. It sounds cliche, but I just believe in you do this and this and this and this and this and this. Stay to the process, stay to the process, stay to the system, and it will work. It stays the test of time. So I think we'll be really good. Like everybody, you got certain positions you're not as experienced as others, but we've got some talented guys, and there's going to be some storms. We got to be able to endure the storms and keep grinding through. But I really, really like this team.
Well, and folks, this is the first time that Greg and I are meeting each other and the first time that I'm hearing his voice. But I just feel that you can tell in his voice that he says what he means and he means what he says. I can't have someone on the show that has a Super Bowl ring, though, and not ask you. 14 years later, I'm sure that you still get asked about it. So, Greg, just take us back to 2010 and the Super Bowl victory over the Colts.
Well, it was very surreal, but it was special with a great group of guys. And it was a magical time in New Orleans and for the Saints, and it was surreal. But you know what? It's funny. It's just 14 years ago. And so there's just, you kind of just keep grinding through, and then 1 year turns into two, turns into 14, turns into 40, and you're old news. But that was a really, really special event, but a really special time in our lives to be able to go through that with that group of men. It was awesome.
You've mentioned them a couple of times, but I would love to close by having you share about your wife, how long the two of you have been in the sacrament of holy matrimony, and the family that you've made, and even the grandchildren that you have as well.
Linda and I celebrated our 40th wedding anniversary in January, but we dated for 7 years. So her dad was in the Air Force, and she moved to my hometown when she was a junior, and we started dating. And then her dad got stationed in Tampa, where he retired at MacDill. And my wife graduated from Robinson High School in Tampa. And so we continued to date. And when I graduated from college and went to the University of Minnesota, we got married. And so we've been married for 40, but we've been together for 47 years. And we have three adult children. We have a son, Drew, who graduated from the University of Illinois and played football. And his wife, Jessie, is an Illinois grad. And we have a grandson, James, and Vera, that live in Glen Ellen in Chicago in the suburbs. And then had a daughter, Lisa Faye. She's got a 9-year-old and 8-year-old. Granddaughter's about 15 minutes from us in Baton Rouge. And then we have a 23-year-old son who works in the sporting goods business, BSN Sporting Goods, named Sam. So we have three adult children and four grandchildren.
Beautiful, beautiful. Greg, so wonderful to have you on the show. Great, great testimony. Thank you for making time to be on Catholic Sports Radio. All the best this season with you and Tulane, and God bless you and your family.
Thank you so much. It was an honor to be on.
Folks, it's fitting, of course, that we close this week's show with a prayer for coaches. So let's do this together, of course, in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. From Proverbs 10, the one who lives with integrity lives securely, but whoever perverts his ways will be found out. Lord, in a world where integrity seems to be forgotten, help me see those times when I put my own at risk. Give me the strength to ask for help and even more strength to listen. Lord, use my life as an example of integrity so that it may be passed on to another generation and to the athletes whom you have entrusted to me. Amen. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Thanks so much for listening. This is Catholic Sports Radio. Find more at catholicsportsradio.net, as well as on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram. It is at Cath Sports Radio on all those, C-A-T-H, at Cath Sports Radio. I'm Bruce Wozniak, and remember, it's not whether you win or lose, it's that it's Jesus that you always choose.